Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Overtime Sports Show with Mike Wood, coming to you live from the City of Medicine, Durham, North Carolina, on this, the 30th day of June, 2016. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. We got a great show for you today. We have the head football coach at North Carolina Central University, the greatest university on the planet, Coach Jerry Mack. He'll be here to talk NCCU football live and in person on the Overtime Hotline. Also joining us is the co-host of the day, Linda Van Smith, as she steps in and here on the program, doing a great job. By the way, want to say thank you so much to all of our listeners out there. Our numbers for the show keep growing daily, day by day by day. The Overtime Sports Show just keeps getting better and better, and we do it all for you. And I want to say thank you so much, because our listeners are simply the best. But right now, fresh on the Overtime Hotline, Coach Jerry Mack, the head football coach at North Carolina Central University. Good evening, Coach Mack. How are you today?
Mike, I'm doing well. How you doing?
Oh, I am doing fantastical. Everything is going along smoothly well. Like I said, the show's growing more and more every day. Special guests like you coming on the show, the great work that you're doing over there at North Carolina Central University, my alma mater, and also the alma mater of Linda Van Smith, who's on the show tonight. So, you know, Eagles in the house, here, there,
Eagles
everywhere. We
the
dominate
house.
The world. That's
oh,
why
yeah.
We fly.
That's
so
what
high
like to
see
hear.
What's going on down low. So, Coach, let's start with this. Tell us a little bit about you. You came in, I think now you're coming into your third year there at North Carolina Central. You came in, you know, a young coach, full of energy. I was there the first day you did your news conference, and I'd never met you before, and you came in, and I could tell by the positive energy that you brought into the room that things were really going to pick up there at North Carolina Central. I mean, you know, you inherited a program that was you know, making strides, you know, on the rise, just new to Division I, but making strides. But tell us a little bit about you, and then get into what motivates you to accept that position at North Carolina Central and try to get to the heights that it is now. And it's even going further. I'm telling you, people, you just hang on for the ride. I'm telling you what's going to happen. Talk about that.
Well, you know, first of all, I'm from Memphis, Tennessee originally. And an opportunity, I actually started my career at an HBCU. I signed with Jackson State University out of Jackson, Mississippi, coming out of high school. And I kind of grew up watching SWAC football. That's kind of where my roots all kind of started. When I decided to make a change, and I transferred from Jackson State University after my freshman year, and I ended up transferring to Arkansas State. And that's when my dad played, and my dad met my mom, and kind of legacy there. A lot of my family members, they all started off at Arkansas, and went there and led it for 3 years, played wide receiver for a few years. And then I decided probably about going into my senior year that I wanted to get into coaching. And I didn't exactly know what exact avenue that I wanted to try to go into. I didn't know whether I wanted to be necessarily a coach or in administration. I just knew I still wanted to stay around the game. And I tell young people all the time that, you know, you don't always have to know what you want to do when you go into college. You kind of, sometimes people just kind of figure it out as they go through the process. And that was my case. You know, I got my degree in management information systems, and I thought I wanted to work in the computer field. And probably about my third year of college, that all kind of changed, and I really had a love for the game. I'd always loved football. So I ended up getting an opportunity to go to Delta State University, Division II school in Mississippi, and become a graduate assistant. And from there, I started off being a graduate assistant, and I got promoted to the running backs coach. And ironically, I got a chance to go back to Jackson State University and be a full-time coach. And I coached receivers there for 2 years, and we won the SWAC championship 1 year. Left there and went on to University of Central Arkansas, where I got my first opportunity to coordinate. We won the Southland Conference that year in 2008. I left there and got an opportunity to go to Arkansas Pine Bluff, so I made my way back to an HBCU, got a chance to coordinate and coach an incredible good group of young men, and we broke a lot of records and were really good on offense that year. And then I got a chance to move up to the FBS level and move back to my hometown, at least, University of Memphis, and I coached there for 1 year. I left there and went to University of South Alabama. It was a program a lot like Central. They were in a transition year moving up to an FBS program, and we went there. And, you know, our second year as a Division I program, we became bowl eligible. And then from there I left and got an opportunity to come to North Carolina Central and be the head football coach. And I think it's been a blessing. It's been a ride with me and my family, but it's definitely been a blessing every step of the way. And I tell guys all the time, I never had a bad job. Every step of the way, I always learned something. It took something from everywhere I went, every coach I worked with, and it's been a good experience. And you know, just trying to take it day by day. You know, trying to put Central in a situation. My vision is that, you know, one day we can be one of those top 25, top 10 caliber programs at the FCS level. Obviously, try to always stay consistent and win MEA championships and be at the top of the conference. But more than anything, just try to put our young men in a position where we can teach them about life and we can also win championships along the way.
You know, and that's why I was just getting ready to emphasize, if there's one school I know of in the MEAC and all the universities and colleges I've been around in my travels, and it's been quite a few, North Carolina Central is one of those schools that strives themselves on kids first, education first, and then they get the privilege through their hard work in the classroom of being able to put that NCCU across their chest and represent the university. And they're really serious about that. I mean, they're one of the you know, I'm not saying that schools don't emphasize that, but I know that North Carolina Central, they do. And the coaches understand that education is first. And that's why I sing the praises of North Carolina Central wherever I go. It doesn't make any difference. I mean, I could go to Seattle, Washington. I'm going to have on an NCCU shirt, and I'm going to tell kids, hey, you need to give Central a shot. You know, I know it's 3,000 miles away, but you get a quality education. You can stay right here and be a dummy. We'll send you to North Carolina and educate you, you know. So, you know, no matter where I go, I talk about North Carolina Central. But let's fast forward now. You're at North Carolina Central. You have their program, two consecutive back-to-back MEAC championships, and it doesn't get any sweeter than to win those championships when you spank down those dreaded Aggies at that Greensboro school over there. You know, the Knights, little community college, I like to call them, and you know, to beat them down is fantastic to me. Talk about the experiences of winning those championships, coming into a program that was thirsty for MEAC championships because we knew we had the talent and it put in the effort, the funds, and everything to get there. But it was almost like that guy on that commercial with that the rod and reel, you almost got it, but we finally did get it. Talk about that experience with yourself and your players over the past couple of years.
Yeah, I think one of the first things, the biggest thing that we had to do when we came in here was obviously put together a great staff. And I tell people all the time that, you know, although that, you know, they see a lot of me or they see a lot of our players kind of out front and representing university, we have an extraordinary staff all the way from our graduate assistants to our director of football operations. They just do an extraordinary job of making sure that they implement and they carry out the vision, and it just trickles down to the players and then, you know, kind of what you see as a reflection and product on the field. So I think the first thing we did was we put together a great staff, and, you know, always got kudos to those guys. And the next thing is we wanted to make sure that we instilled some discipline and some attention to detail. And if anybody has a chance to be around our program, they'll always hear our coaches and our staff and everybody just talk about those little things because, you know, we always use the term see a little, see a lot, see nothing at all. And basically what that means is, you know, everybody wants to score the 70-yard touchdown. Everyone wants to do great things. But before that, they have to snap the ball. Before that, they have to get lined up. So it's just those little things that occur that make them understand, and we try to make sure our kids understand that it's the little things that's going to eventually lead to the big things. And that's what I think, if anything, I'm proud of. I think we've done a pretty good job of instilling that in our players the last 2 years. You know, we wanted to make sure we came in here and we brought energy. And one of the things that we felt like that the program needed was just a jump start. You're exactly right. The talent was definitely here. You know, the talent was always here. But, you know, we came in, we saw that, you know, they had consistently been at the bottom of the conference in offense. They were consistently always one of the top teams the last few years in penalties. And that, you know, if you're talking about the quickest way to lose a game, you know, it was a lot of self-destruction going on. More than people were beating Central, it was more Central was beating themselves. And we had to get those things cleaned up. You know, we had to clean house some. we got rid of some guys, not so much guys that just didn't buy into what we believed in. It wasn't a lot of guys, but, you know, we were able to change a lot of the attitudes and a lot of the culture already coming in. But we did have to, you know, get rid of some guys that really weren't, we felt like, what we wanted to be about going forward. And accumulation of all that, it took a lot of hard work. It took a lot of long hours along the way. We lost some guys. We lost some coaches. I mean, it's just kind of the nature of the beast, you know, when you're doing some things and you're trying to get a program off the ground. And, you know, it was probably about, I would say, you know, a lot of people see our win in 2014 versus South Carolina State. It's probably the turning point to more than anything. I saw the loss to Townsend in 2014 mm-hmm. is probably yep. more the turning point just to me, because we were able to go into that game on the road against a team that just had previously played for a national championship the year before. And, you know, we were probably in that game all the way until the last few minutes of that game. And that's when I knew that I thought we had a chance to really be good that year in 14. And then, you know, you just kind of build off that momentum more than anything going forward. So that's what we've been able to do. I think, you know, we built out the momentum from 14 and it led to 15. And, you know, we had some bumps along the way. You know, in 15, we had a ton of injuries to some key players. We went into probably our biggest game of the season without our four best players and still probably had a chance to win that at the end of the game. And those are the things that you look at as a coach. You see just how your kids overcome adversity. We were down 22-0. At one point in time, against Savannah State last year, one of the teams that haven't been doing extremely well in the conference, and our kids stayed the path, they stayed focused, and we was able to score 39 unanswered points. And those are the kind of things I feel like as a program, those are the little things that make the difference. You know, our kids are now, we believe that we're going to go walk into every game and win. And you take that 30 months ago when I first arrived, it wasn't like that. And I think now that the attitudes of the young men are changing, the attitudes of the administration, the attitudes of the fans and our alums, everybody's changing. And that's going to help us get over the hump, consistently stay over the hump more than anything.
Yeah, I've noticed that too. I was going to also reference that game against Townsend State, because there were just four, in my opinion, in that game, there was just four key plays that cost us that victory. Four, mm-hmm. okay? And you know, it was what I call the Wile E. Coyote experience. And people look at me and say, what was that? That is when Wile E. Coyote planned and implemented and watched film and did everything to catch a Roadrunner. He did everything he could. He set up all that stuff. I think he kept Acme Supply Company in business with all this stuff to catch a Roadrunner. Okay. He finally caught the Roadrunner. Finally caught him. And then all of a sudden he's got the Roadrunner around the throat, and then he just stops and looks at the camera, and a tear comes down his face, because he had not planned for what he was going to do once he caught the Roadrunner.
Mm.
He forgot to plan for the future. He was just planning for the present. So in those four plays, the way I looked at that is, he, you know, you grab the Roadrunner, then all of a sudden the players are like, I got success in my hand. Now, success is just as much of a motivating factor, or it is just as much as winning or losing. Success, people think it's crazy to say that, but you have to plan to be successful. And
yeah.
They didn't plan to be successful. And I said to myself, right then, I said, okay, work on a couple of things. I knew you were going to do it when you came. I knew you saw the same thing I did. And when you got to practice, you're going to work on those things. You're going to implement, plan to be successful. I knew it. I could see it in your eyes that you're going to do it. And you did. And look what happens. You have to plan what you're going to do when you win. And that's what your kids are doing now. The fans, you're absolutely right. Now it's like, you know, we used to go into a game and we play somebody, let's just say South Carolina State, who perennially is one of the best in the nation. Okay? All right? Mm-hmm. We go in that game, we're like, oh, God, we're playing South Carolina State. Now we're like, oh, God, we're playing South Carolina State. Let's all pray for South Carolina State, because we're going to kick them in. You know what I'm saying? So things have changed. Now, I noticed also when I looked at the statistical categories from last year that one of your – you know, one strength of the team, and you can see that is consistent in winning also, is you scored like 93 points in the second period of last season, all of last season, cumulative points in the second period. And then it seems as though you got, even though you didn't score a high of 93 in the third and fourth period, you still were right at 57, 67, 68 points in the third and fourth quarters, and the other teams were down like 41 and 38 points. Now, when you start doing stuff like that, you're going to win football games. Talk about the turnaround in the defense, because one thing I noticed about your defense is they fly to the football, When they get to the football, they wreak havoc, and when they wreak havoc, they get the turnovers, and your offense would turn those turnovers, obviously, by the statistical category, into points. So talk about your defense and the improvement on that defense.
Well, I think the first thing that I told Coach Eastman when we got here at Central was that I wanted our motto to be, we need to hit anything that moves. Because when I turned on the film from the past years, one thing that I saw was he had a great linebacker. I think his name was Taz Foster. He was an incredible. He was all over the field making plays. The only problem with that, he was the only one making plays. And I wanted And I wanted to make sure that we got 11 bodies to the ball constantly. And what you have seen is the last 2 years of our championship runs, we probably have caused, if you look at our turnover margin, we probably caused the most turnovers in the conference the last 2 years. And we've consistently been either one or two in the country, in the conference, and I think even in 14, we're three in the nation in turnover margin. So what you can see is, one is we're not turning the ball over as much, and two is we're forcing more turnovers. And that is a compliment to Coach Eastman and what he stresses and what he consistently tells our defense is we're always trying to cause turnovers. We're always trying to hunt and pursue the football. And that is, the last 2 years, especially against A&T this past year, we did a great job of pursuing to the football. I mean, we had almost, I think we had 12 tackles for a loss. And you know, it wasn't a whole lot of solo tackles either. I mean, we had guys actually hunting and getting after the ball. And, you know, our defense does an incredible job of doing that.
Yeah, I'm telling you, Coach, that is another thing I noticed. As a matter of fact, I was in the radio booth that day, especially the last victory. I had an open date for some strange reason, which I was glad of because I got a chance to go over and look at the game. But one thing I noticed, and I talked about in the booth myself to Simmons and DeDuran, was that when you see a guy with the football and you see him get tackled and you see at least seven or eight guys getting off the pile, not one time, but almost every time, then that defense is going to win that football game. One, their great running back, who everybody brags about, I don't even think he got 40 yards that day because it was a team effort to get him on the ground. Okay, you can't run nowhere if there's nowhere to run. You know, you definitely can't run if you land on your back looking at the sky. And then, you know, it's just consistently, no matter where that ball went, if there was a pass, okay, in somebody's zone, yeah, he was singled up in the zone, but by the time that ball got there, there were two or three other white shirts there. So you can catch the ball, but if you don't get any yards after catch, it's no good.
Yeah.
You know, everybody can catch the ball, but if you don't move the ball, so what? I'll let you stand there and catch in front of me all day long. You can stand there and catch it, but you're not in the end zone, so I don't care what you do. You know, as long as I can keep you out of there. Well, Linda, do you have any questions for the coach?
I do, Coach. How are you this evening?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing fine, and you may have answered this, but anyway, at a Rotary Club luncheon, you said that you work hard to teach your players to find a vision for success in their own lives and be willing to sacrifice and do what it takes to gain the skills and move ahead with passion for something they care about. Now, do you find players really understand that concept? And if they don't, how do you help them to understand that?
Well, I would tell you first, no, they don't understand any of that when they first walk through these doors. They are totally oblivious to what college life is about, what playing college football is about. But, you know, I tell our coaches that's why they call us coach and that's why they pay us money, so we can make sure that we teach these young men exactly kind of what their goals are, kind of give them a plan or give them a blueprint to how they need to be going about accomplishing those goals. And it's not just coaches either. I mean, we have a great academic staff. We work with career services here on campus. We do a lot of different things to make sure we put them in a mind frame so they can kind of understand more than anything exactly what it's going to take to be successful. So it's just like anything else I talk about, you know, if you take a piece of meat out the freezer, you know, it takes some time for it to thaw out, and that's kind of how a young freshman is. It takes some time for him to eventually thaw out. You know, the first year, he's still everything swimming. That first year as a freshman student-athlete is probably the toughest year on anybody just because everything is so new and everything is so foreign to him. By the second year, things start to slow down some. They start to kind of figure out the lay of the land. And then that third and fourth year, you know, if you can get that young man to that third or fourth year, then right about that time, they start to kind of figure out the importance of education. You know, we bring in a lot of different people to speak to the football team. We're constantly mentoring these young men. And it's just different things like that we try to make sure that they see the vision. And hopefully, my hope is, is that by the time they leave here after 4, maybe 5 years, hopefully it's no more than 5 years, but by the time they leave here, they're so much better and they're so much more equipped and they have a set of skills that they can take into the real world and hopefully be successful and, you know, feed their family and support themselves.
Okay, now I have another question. It seems like you have the ability to empower your players. Do you think it's your age? Or where did you get your passion and drive? Where did that come from?
You know, I was really blessed. You know, I got a mom. My mom and dad was at home. I got a younger sister. And, you know, one thing that my dad and my parents always taught me was, you know, make sure that, you know, you just do the right thing. If you have to question whether it's the right thing or not, it's probably not the right thing. And it all starts at home. And I tell everybody that it all starts on just a day-to-day. It's no magic pill that you take all of a sudden one day. You have great character. It starts, you know, by the time you're young and you just continue to build up your kids. And that same philosophy I try to take in my kids and the same philosophy I think my parents took in me. You know, they were always stressing and they were always teaching, or I should say coaching, me and my sister on right from wrong or, you know, just little things. I'm never going to forget. You know, I think I probably heard it from the time I was 8 years old. My dad always told me, anytime you get into a large intersection, pause, because somebody may always run that light. So, you know, here I am 35 years old today, and I still, every time it's a big intersection, I'm always pause, even when that light turns green, just to make sure no cars are going to run that light. So just little things like that. I think it all started for me at home, and just, you know, I had a passion for the game growing up. I always liked athletics. I played all sports in middle school and junior high. But, you know, my passion and my love was football. And my dad didn't even let me play football until I got about eighth grade. So I was about 14 years old or so before I even played football for organized youth sports. But, you know, those things to me, they just, you know, that's been the biggest difference in my life.
And I think that was the comment you said about it starts from home. That is so, so true. You know, you have to instill those values at home. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't let the teacher do it. You know, parents should be doing teaching, instilling those a lot of goals and values to their children, which
no
is
doubt.
Great. So I'm glad that you're doing that with the athletes.
Well, I tell you, when you said 35 years old, I'm sitting here saying I got a wallet that I've had for 35 years. Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? You know, that's why he's so young. He's so energetic. I mean, I look at you on the sideline. You're bouncing up and down on the sideline. I never bounce that much, I don't think, at any given time on the sidelines. And that's probably, you know, a testament to your ability to understand the kids today because, you know, I work with high school sometimes, you know, broadcasting, and I came out of high school coaching and stuff. And I'm telling you, about 1989, I could not understand anything that the kids were saying because they were changing the English language. It was getting from being yes, sir, no, sir, to being yeah and huh, which does not work at all. And, you know, it was just a culture change. Now, and another thing I can say, too, Linda, having dealt with North Carolina Central is every kid I've run across there, and I call them kids because I'm old as be the granddaddies, but every kid I've run across there, athlete, and just regular student, but a student athlete that I run across, they are such nice individuals. I mean, I don't know if y'all luck up in recruiting and get the kids that are good, just citizens, good people, good family values. But I remember when I was I had a few health issues. I was in a wheelchair, but I was still broadcasting because you never quit. You always finish what you start. And the football players who were standing around out there right outside the Walker Complex. And do you realize they helped me get into the building? They would not let me do it myself. They said, no, we'll help you, we'll help you. And they actually helped me. And that's a testament to the quality of kids that you have there at North Carolina Central all the way around. From every team I deal with, every team I don't, I indirectly or directly deal with, every kid there is just so amazing. And that's just a compliment to the coaches and university and to the parents of those kids, too, who raised mm-hmm. them, as we say, raise them right. And so I appreciate that a great deal. Now, let's quickly talk about this year's team coming up, MEAC, rough and tumble, rough and tough, as it is every year. I think it's going to come down, myself, once again, to three teams. It's going to come down to North Carolina Central. It's going to come down to those dreaded Aggies of North Carolina A&T. And also Bethune-Cookman. I think it's going to come down to those three teams. out of those three teams, with Norfolk State inching closer and closer, because all they need is a couple of players. All they need is another good offensive lineman and probably a defensive end, and they're going to make some noise too. Talk about the MEAC this year and how you see things shaking out. Now, I know you're going to, you know, if you're like me, you're going to say, all right, I'll let y'all talk about who's going to be 2, 3, 4, and 5 because I already know who number one is. But let's talk about, you know, the MEAC and the strength of it coming up in 2016.
I think you're exactly right as far as it is a competitive and it's a lot of parity in the conference from top to bottom. You know, obviously, you know, North Carolina A&T is probably going to be one of the premier teams in our conference this upcoming year. You know, they'll probably be ranked. I think in some publications, they're already ranked in the top 25. And Bethune-Cookman has been a perennial power along with South Carolina State. You can go on and on. You're right, Coach Latrell Scott's doing an excellent job over there at Norfolk State. He's got those guys rolling. I think, you know, sometimes I think people may sleep on Coach Maynard over there in Hampton. They had a winning season last year as well. And I think Morgan State, they were really young, but, you know, they're going to be pretty good this year. They got a new coach, and, you know, a lot of those guys are going to be returning. FAMU, to me, is another team. And, you know, I follow all these teams in the MEAC very, very closely because that's you know, that's our competition. So, you know, you're not probably going to find a coach that's on Twitter or you know, I'll be friend everybody on Facebook or Instagram. I'm always trying to get any edge that I can to find out what's going on with players or what's going on with programs. Because at the end of the day, every little bit helps. Everything helps you get over the hump and win games. So, you know, it's going to be a really competitive year within the conference. I think, you know, as our football team grows and, you know, what we got to do is and what we have to focus on, we have to control what we can control. You know, I'm looking for us to be better than we were last year, like any coach would be. We have to improve on some things, offense, defense, and special teams. We have some new coaches in-house, and we got to get our chemistry right. You know, we got some things that we have to work on and we have to do to try to separate from the rest of the league. And, you know, we're working diligently every day, summertime right now. We tell them all the time that there are no fans in the stands in the summertime. There's nobody cheering for you. There's nobody up at the stadium at 6:30 a.m. with you working out besides the players and our strength and conditioning staff. So those are the things that, you know, we're trying to come together as a family right now and trying to find out, you know, how good can we be or push it to the envelope and continue to try to get better. You know, one thing about college football now is it's not a whole lot of carryover from year to year. You know, every year is different. You know, different obstacles, different things you have to overcome, different personalities, different people. So, you know, just because we finish the season on a 7-game winning streak and we close it extremely well, that does not mean that that's going to automatically happen this year. You know, you made the comment earlier, Mike, you know, we're the hunted now. And that's mm-hmm. that's extremely, extremely true. You know, it's not like it was 2 or 3 years ago where, you know, people go into the game and, you know, North Carolina Central, it was just another game. You know, now people are going to have something to prove in you. You know, you're 2-time back-to-back champs and, you know, people going to come after you because they feel like if they can beat you, they've arrived. No different than, mm-hmm. you know, when we started this thing 2 years ago. You know, there were certain teams that, you know you were going to get a little bit of extra push or a little bit extra focus or more detail against certain people. But that's just kids, and that's kind of the nature of the beast. As coaches, you don't ever overlook anybody. But as kids, it's hard to keep, you know, young 18, 19-year-old men to stay focused and understand that, you know, every game is a challenge. But I don't think that's going to be a big issue with us. I still think it's some form or fashion of our young men feel like we don't get the respect at times that we deserve in the MEAC. And I know as coaches we feel the same way. But, you know, that's why we play the games on Saturday. Because so we can prove people wrong.
Yeah, and before we close things out here, it's just one thing I have to say to my Aggie friends who are always ragging me one way or the other. They tell me all the time we won the national championship. They tell me all the time, you know, that we did this or we did that last year. Well, let me put it to you like this, Aggie fans, right quick. Riddle me this. When does it not matter? When you win your national championship, you may even win a piece of the MEAC championship, and you may even be ranked in the top 25. When does all of that not matter? And the answer is when you play the Eagles of North Carolina Central. I just wanted to just put that out there. And another thing to all the parents out there, if you're listening, remember this, and this is coming straight from my heart, and I'm just as sincere about this as I can be. Mamas and daddies, whatever you do, don't let your babies grow up to be Aggies. Anyway, thank you so much, Coach Mack, for appearing here on the Overtime Sports Show, and we look forward to a great season this year. Like you say, the pressure is not so much – the pressure is on other teams to beat you, not so much on you to beat other teams, even though, you know, it's the nature of the beast. But we hope you have a great season this year. Go out there and bring in number three. Let's go to the Celebration Bowl and spank whomever the swag has. It doesn't make any difference who they put up there. Just go there and spank whoever they got just like they stole something. So thank you so much, Coach, for being on the Overtime Sports Show.
No problem. Thank you, guys.
All right. Take
sure.
care.
Have a good season.
That was Coach Jerry Mack, the head football coach at North Carolina Central University, and having a great show. Coach Mack got things rolling over there at North Carolina Central, and hopefully he's going to, you know, be there for a long, long while and take the Eagles to heights and soar to heights that we've never soared to before. Well, Linda, thank you so much for being on the show also and co-hosting today. And don't forget now, Linda Van Smith and I will be bringing you live, that's right, live women's pro football action. That's right, women play pro football, and they do it quite well. Right here in Durham, we have a team called the Carolina Phoenix. They've been the national champions. They've been the Founders Bowl champions. I'll get it out. The Founders Bowl champions, and they've been doing a great job here in Durham, and they play up at Durham County Memorial Stadium on July 9th at 6 p.m., and we'll be bringing you the action live on the MHE Sports Network. To find out more about that, all you have to do is go to our Twitter feed, which is at the Overtime 1410. You can go to Facebook, the Overtime Sports Show, or just look up Mike Wood. It'll pop up there, and you'll be able to see the listings and times for the broadcast. You can also go to our brand new and improved website at www.theovertimesportsshow.weebly.com. That's www.theovertimesportsshow.weebly.com. Well, thank you so much, everybody. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back on Monday. Check our website for the next guest and the next show that we're going to have coming up right here on the Overtime Sports Show. It's been a pleasure. It's been something else today. It's really been a pleasure to me to talk to Coach Jerry Mack of North Carolina Central University. So until next time, goodbye, everybody.
Have a good one.